Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Vicki Winterton with Expert Insights Family of Opportunity and Published Magazine. I'm so excited today to have Carol McManus with us. Carol has enjoyed a long career in real estate and had served various roles in management, executive leadership, and operations, as well as a role in training. She left her last position as a Senior Vice President of Real Estate Operations for Coldwell Banker Real Estate Corporation, which we're all familiar with, and that was in 2007, to pursue her dream and passion to have her own company. Her passion to help business owners and operators flourish as an executive coach, consultant, and trainer, she's really able to bring the years of experience to the table to enable her to do that. She saves clients time and money by cutting to the chase of what they need to do to take your business to a much higher level of performance and a stronger bottom line profit, which we all need to know about. As a new entrepreneur, she needed to find ways to grow her own business and reach new clients and referral partners. So social networking really became her secret weapon. She used her personal networking skills in the virtual world to attract so much new business. Her results were so significant that then she began speaking on the subject, and she realized that the business world was just aching for the information and the guidance to accomplish the same thing. So today, Carol is focused on speaking to audiences worldwide on how to use LinkedIn effectively and consults with entrepreneurs and small businesses on building a comprehensive strategy to support their business goals and their marketing message. And Carol, thank you so much for joining us. It's just a joy to spend time with you tonight.
Oh, I appreciate that, Vicki, and I'm happy to be here.
So tell us a little bit about your transition from the corporate world to being an entrepreneur.
Well, it was, you know, obviously 2007, one could say, are you crazy? It wasn't a great time to step off the toast or leave the comfort of a, you know, of a job and go out there. At the time, none of us, of course, realized that the economy was going to take quite the deep turn that it did. But we at our parent company, Realogy, which is the parent to Coldwell Banker, you know, saw the change in the market coming. And I actually went to my boss and volunteered to be on the list because I knew that they were going to have to make some serious cuts. I had a very long and very good career with Coldwell Banker, and they're still a client today. Very, very grateful for that. But I truly was, as you said in the introduction, I was ready to do something else, and I wanted to do those things that I was passionate about, which was the executive coaching, the business consulting, and the leadership development, because those were really my core skills and where I felt, you know, that I could really make a contribution and spend the next phase of my career doing something different. So with that, you know, stepped off the toast, started my company, Why Wait for Success, and as you very astutely put in the intro, although I think you said it kinder than I would, I really didn't have money for a marketing budget. And honestly, if I'd had the money, I don't know where I would have spent it. You know, traditional marketing, TV, radio, print, has changed so much. Direct mail, I got to include that also. And, you know, park benches and billboards. I mean, there's all sorts of choices there. But when you're an entrepreneur and you're doing what I do, especially in a service-type business where it's not bricks and mortar, where it's not product-oriented, you really have to go out there and build relationships. So social media, while it was still new to the business world in 2008, it made sense to me because I knew that I could connect with people online and reconnect with people that I had lost. And that's pretty much what I did. And truly, it sounds very trite and very cliche, but the rest was history. It just became magical in terms of how we all gravitated to this new platform and this new medium to try to create relationships with people. So that's how I got there.
Wow. You know, I found that when I was working in the corporate arena, I did a lot of work with team coaching. And I found that, you know, with the onset of the internet and email, particularly in the 90s, the communication seemed to just go really downhill. There was a real emphasis on efficiency. And so I think you are so right that you know, the whole idea of social media and networking has come into its own because it has a richness in that area that was kind of void there for a while.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it has changed dramatically in these few years. Because, again, like I said, when I started, it really wasn't about business. It was more, it was more about people using it to connect socially. So it was kids wanting to connect with kids. It was college, you know, students wanting to connect with other college friends. And it was adults at the beginning, just adults, parents looking over the shoulders of their kids. So the whole idea of how it's evolved and how it's being used today has really, really exploded just in the last 18 to 24 months.
Wow, it really has changed, and of course you're the expert. You are America's LinkedIn lady, so you really have been at the forefront of all of that change and that evolution. So how did you become America's LinkedIn lady?
Well, you know, people laugh at that because they say, well, you know, isn't it all about Facebook and isn't it all about Twitter and how? I have a LinkedIn profile and I don't know what to do with it. And for me, the journey was very different. I do use Facebook and I do use Twitter, and I certainly believe in both platforms. But for professionals, for businesses, for people in the business-to-business, you know, affectionately known as the B2B market, LinkedIn was very, very effective for me, and it is for other people. Because you've got decision-makers, you have a smaller audience, you have a much, much stronger demographic, and you can laser focus who you want to have conversation with. It's not so much the wild, wild west sort of feeling that you have and the chaotic communications that you have on Facebook and the, sort of the uncertainty of who your voice is even reaching on Twitter. I mean, that's just sending, you know, your little tweets out into cyberspace and hoping that that fairy dust is going to land on somebody's shoulder who really cares. And it's very hit and miss. Whereas with LinkedIn, it's really much more controlled. It's much more strategic. And again, I think my corporate DNA probably influenced my behaviors. I'll be the first to admit that, because I'm not of a generation where the wild, wild west felt comfortable for me. But the idea of networking in the virtual world was really taking the same skill set that I had used in business always, that I would use when I went to a Chamber of Commerce event or to a BNI meeting or any type of networking event, and using those same skills to connect with people and to have meaningful conversations, which then lead to offline communications where it then goes from LinkedIn to an email, to a phone conversation, to a cup of coffee at Starbucks, you know, to a face-to-face meeting, a presentation, and then ultimately business. So I think that's where most people go wrong, is they think that social media is about business, and my message is, no, it's about building relationships. The relationships will lead to business. So the LinkedIn lady, just real quick, the way that branding came about, and it's a great marketing story, because I had been speaking just on the general subject of social media, and I had a program at the time I called Linking, Friending, Tweeting, Oh My. And it was sort of at the time when everybody was sort of grappling with what this was all about, and more importantly, why should they even care, because there were a lot of doubting Thomases at the time. And I was in the ladies' room after I had been on stage, and this lady turns to me and she says, oh, you're the LinkedIn lady. And I looked at her, and it was like one of those duh moments, because I realized that she didn't know my name. She could never have told you my name was Carol McManus. But my message struck with her, and she recognized me as the LinkedIn lady. So I went to my own coach and said, what do you think about this? And he says, you need to own it, because you don't want to compete and just be a generalist in social media. There's lots of people out there championing for Facebook and Twitter, but nobody is owning LinkedIn, and nobody is really telling business people and professionals how to use LinkedIn the right way. And you're living proof. You've done it. So that was the genesis of the brand.
Oh, that is just so marvelous. And, you know, I couldn't agree more with your viewpoint and your wisdom about how powerful LinkedIn is. I think I shared with you that we had a book that made the bestseller list today. And I actually went on LinkedIn, and I have about the same number of following on LinkedIn as I do Facebook, but I went into LinkedIn and sent personal emails, and I found that I knew most of my following, that we had either done business together or they belonged to one of our associations, and there, and I'm quite sure that the interaction with them on LinkedIn is what helped push the book up to number four position.
No doubt about it.
When I go on Facebook, I mean, it's wonderful to have followers, but I don't know them. I don't know a lot of them. I know some of them, but a lot of them I don't know, where I found a lot of my following on and my friends on LinkedIn I knew personally. So you are providing a service that's so important because, you know, it is hard to get orientated to how to use LinkedIn truly to your advantage, and it's a very different animal and a very wonderful animal compared to some of the other social media out there. No question.
I couldn't agree more.
So speaking of writing, since this is a big day for us with our book making it to number four position as bestseller, I was wondering, what type of writing do you do yourself?
Well, you know, writing has always been part of who I am, not just what I do. I've been a journaler for, decades. I hate to admit that, but for decades. And I started my path of writing my first novel probably about 8 years ago. I put it aside for a while and came back to it. And, in fact, my novel, which is a mystery format, is in the hands of an agent right now. So it's not ready to be published, but it is out there being circulated. What I have actually published, when I was with Coldwell Banker, actually at the time I was working for the parent company, Realogy, they tasked me with writing a book that would be for our sales associates. And again, to put that in perspective, we're talking all of the sales associates internationally for Coldwell Banker, Century 21, ERA, Sotheby's International, and Coldwell Banker Commercial at the time, and now also Better Homes and Gardens. So I wrote a book called 10 Traits for Top Performers. I interviewed associates, top performing sales associates from all the brands from all over the country, and synthesized that down to what their traits and characteristics were, and then quizzed them on how they serve their customers. And that was a huge success. We sold over 125,000 copies. We also have a digital download audio format, and I still get requests for it today, even though it's out of print. So that really got the bug going in me to continue to write, and I actually am going to be writing, an updated version of that, which will be for general publication. But I'm also got two other big projects going on right now. One is I'm authoring my first book on LinkedIn. I do have an information product, a CD and action guide, but I've really had a lot of my clients push me to write a simple tutorial, a little bit different slant than the other competition that's out there. And then because of my coaching and consulting practice, the other book that is just about finished right now, and the one that is I'm very passionate about, is called Reinvent Yourself at Any Age. And the reason is because my own story is a story of reinvention. So I used the media to go out there and find people who themselves had gone through reinvention, either voluntarily or, frankly, involuntarily. And there's some incredibly inspiring stories, and I think we're at a point in our society right now, and there's a big cultural shift going on. We're obviously not in the industrial age where people go to work and stay with the same company for 30 years, and there is a lot less fear about people going out and reinventing themselves than there was some time ago. So I'm very excited about that book. It will be out later this spring, and lots of fun things on deck for that one.
Oh, that is just so wonderful. And Carol, we were talking earlier about the fact that so many times when you reinvent yourself into an area where you feel really passionate, as I know you do about being America's LinkedIn lady, you take so much, like the writing and the experience that you had from the corporate world with you, and you bring it into this one, and it really does enrich your experience when you find that thing that you just know you were destined to do.
Yep, and it really lands. You know when it's right, and you just move forward. And I think that's where coaching can help too, is helping people identify what it is, get clarity on what that next step is going to be, and then give them that encouragement and that support to move forward. Because the worst thing you want to do is have that dream and not act on it.
Oh, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. So why do you think social media is so important for authors?
Well, that really is a sweet spot for me because I have had the privilege of actually working with some really amazing best-selling authors, and that came, again, from my journey in writing myself and attending writers' conferences and getting to know some of these people who, like me, were not used to social media, wasn't sure what it was going to mean. But authors, by definition, sort of live in a little vacuum. They don't have a lot of interaction. They don't go to an office every day. And they live their lives and they express themselves through their characters and through their message. And but at the same time, it takes a real person to buy the book on the Barnes & Noble shelf or to download it onto their Kindle or to pick up the audio version if it happens to be available in audio. And that's a real person who wants to connect and hear the message. And what authors are finding is that by using social media to really strengthen, develop and strengthen those relationships with their readers, it does what we all hope that we're going to do as authors, and that's to increase sales and to get them to come back and buy our next book and our next book after that. So that's really the fundamental reason. It's not just about selling books, but it's really developing a cadre of raving fans who love you and love your books and love your characters.
No question. And I think, too, with social media, it gives people a chance to get to know you on authentically on a number of different levels rather than just as an author speaking to them through a book. You can really show so many facets of your personality and authenticity. Yeah, social media, and particularly LinkedIn, is a great place to do that. You don't always find that in a traditional business setting, and LinkedIn allows you to incorporate some of that.
Absolutely, and I love the fact that you use the word authentic because that is the secret sauce to it. You know, you're not just a picture and a biography on the dust jacket of a book, and you're not something that's just being put out there as sort of a marketing image, but rather a real, you know, living, breathing, blood-flowing human being who people do want to connect with. Everybody wants to get close to the guru, and what I mean by guru is in this case we're talking about an author, but it's whether it's the owner of the business, the speaker on the stage, you know, the author of the book, people want to get up close and personal with that voice that resonates with them. And social media gives you an opportunity to do that on a broader scale, but yet still a very intimate scale. And that's what I love about social media is, again, you've got that broad reach, but you've got that intimate message, and however you choose to define that. You know, some people get very intimate and very transparent with the message. Others are a little more private and a little more discreet about what they put out there. That's a personal choice. There is not a right or wrong answer to that. But everybody needs to be there in some way, shape, or form if they want to build a brand.
Yeah, very important point. Well, you know, I mean, I know you've seen it because you're such an expert in this arena. It's become kind of crowded out there. What sites do you recommend for authors, even if they're just getting started or they're established? It can be a little overwhelming out there these days.
It can absolutely be overwhelming, and I will tell you that there's a natural tendency. Everybody goes to Facebook first as their first choice, and I am a big fan of Facebook. I think it is a hugely valuable, hugely influential site, but at the end of the day, it's not the only social networking platform. So I'll give you sort of the short answer, and then, you know, the details become relevant only to specific situations. But authors understand the term voice. Everyone has a voice, which means that the voice that you're expressing is going to resonate with certain people. So if you're writing, for example, let's say in nonfiction and you have a business message, then it's more likely that the audience that you want to reach are going to be on LinkedIn, where the professionals are hanging out and the people who are more likely to be reading business books. Not to say that people on Facebook don't read business books. Please, I don't want anyone to be upset with me. But people who write novels, where it's a softer message, a more intimate message, might be better served on Facebook. Then I have another author that I consulted with who really doesn't like the global platforms but really prefers to communicate with his fans through a blog. So he has now started using Twitter to let people know that he's out there and he has a message, and he uses Twitter to drive people to his blog so that they can see his sort of intimate, his musings and what's going on today, and today's a day of writer's block, today's a day that I'm, you know, had a very productive day, or, you know, when I wake up in the morning and I look at a blank screen, this is what I do. And so there is no one single flavor. It really comes down to your personality, your style, and how you want to engage with your readers, and it does have to do with the type of book that you're reading. meeting. But the whole idea, and I use this metaphor because I'm in the New York area, and this is for anybody, not just for authors, but when you think about where you want to be on social media, it's not where you want to be. It's where the people that you want to attract to you and the people you want to hang out with are. And so my metaphor is, if I were to take you into Grand Central Station and you tell me, these are the people that I want to connect with, and I can with assurance tell you that they're going to be coming in on the trains that come in on track 112, where would you go stand? Well, you'd go stand on track 112 and lay yourself across the tracks because you'd want to talk to everybody coming off that train. That's how you want to build your strategy around social media. Where are your potential fans, business consultants, referral partners, investors, consultants, I mean, employers, employees, all of those categories? They're all out there someplace, and you need to do a little due diligence. And if you don't know how to do it yourself, there's people like myself, and there's many of us out there, you know, who are experts in this area who can help guide you so that you, the time that you invest in social media puts you in the right place to connect with the right people and the people that you want to connect with. And that's really what a lot of people miss. They just think that everybody's on Facebook, so I need to be on Facebook too, or everybody's tweeting, so I need to tweet. And the answer is maybe, maybe not.
That's such a good point. I always look at it kind of like you find out, you know, where it is you want to play and who you want to play with, and then you find out where they hang out so you can meet them. You know, it's really a relationship building process. So, it hasn't changed so much. It's just social media, and particularly LinkedIn, is giving us some great opportunities to do that in a really global way that's amazing. So what are some of the biggest mistakes people make when they're using social media?
That's an easy one, because I think people jump into social media with a what I'll call a traditional marketing mindset. Because, again, and this is now from a business perspective, this is not the person who wants to go out and connect with their sorority sisters or their former neighbors or friends or relatives or watch what their kids are doing. This is for the person who is saying, okay, I know I need to be on social media. I want to use it to grow my business, so what do I do? And what they unfortunately do most of the time is come at it the way they would a traditional marketing message. And what I mean by that is selling and pitching and convincing somebody that they should do business with you, which is sort of the traditional marketing model. Social media is completely different. The focus needs to be on building relationships and getting people to know you so that you earn the right to sell them. And it's not to say that you don't sell on social media. People do. People will send people to their website. People will have opt-in boxes and, you know, decision-making tools, and they can be used very creatively. But if that's all you're doing in the social media space, you probably will not be successful, because people get very offended by that. They want to get to know you. And then it's like, oh, wow, that's really cool. Gee, I wonder what else Vicki is doing. I'd like to know more about her. Does she have a book? Does she have a product? You know, does she have a service that I might be interested in hiring? And then they'll go rooting through Google and your LinkedIn profile and your Facebook page and your, you know, they'll follow you on Twitter. They'll see what else you're doing out there. They'll read your blog and say, yeah, now this is a person that I want to do business with. So the consumer is really in the driver's seat. And if you push the consumer, you know, too hard, too early, you will fail. There is absolutely no dispute about that. You can play just the numbers game like a lot of the big internet marketers do, and yes, it will work. But for most of us in what I'll call the normal business space, that will fail you over time. It won't be a sustained strategy.
Do you have any kind of equation as to how much the communication and relationship building as opposed to more of the business type of style? I mean, is there any type of a percentage or something of that nature that you've come to?
Yeah, that's a great, great question. And the answer is, if you're just starting out and you don't have an already built-in fan base, use the 1 in 10 formula, which means that, for example, let's use Twitter. For every 10 tweets, one of them should be about your business, 9 of them should be about you, about great information, about content, about an article that you saw or an inspirational quote, something that's very non-threatening, that's still about you and what you're about, but not pitching. That 10th one can be sending people to a squeeze page or an opt-in box or, you know, or a decision-making page. That, so that's for the newbie starting out without a fan base. If you have an established, you know, sort of network of people who already know you and trust you and are doing business with you, and all you want to do is grow that, then you can build that ratio up to 30% or 40%. But if you're getting anywhere close to 50%, that 50% of your, and this is no matter who you are or how established you are, if 50% of your messages or more are sales pitch based, you're going to lose followers, you're going to lose friends and fans, you're going to lose connections, because people get very, very impatient for that messaging. So again, it's that get the people, it's an old formula of business and sales that I learned 100 years ago. People have to know you before they like you, they have to like you before they trust you, and they have to trust you before they'll do business with you. So you need to evaluate where you are in that continuum with the people you're connecting with online. Do they really know you? Do they like you? And you'll know that by their interaction with you. Do they trust you? And that will be what if this has already translated into an offline conversation, whether it's, again, email or direct phone, that is leading to business. And then at the end of the day, are you converting it to business? And everybody's litmus test is going to be a little bit different, but that I hope that answers your question.
It does. And it is such an important issue to look at, because it's new to some of us, and you know, we may not be inclined to go that direction instinctually. So that's really valuable, Carol. Tell me, why is LinkedIn so important to everyone?
I love that question, and here's why I love it, because LinkedIn truly is probably the most misunderstood social media site out there. People understand Plaxo and Orkut and Squidoo sometimes more than they do LinkedIn, because it is a little bit stilted in its style and its personality compared to other sites, and it does feel, and a lot of people think, well, it's just an online resume. And it is not that. I tell my people, you want to think of LinkedIn as your online biography. And here's what I mean by that. If you are, in fact, looking for a job, yes, you can use LinkedIn as one of the vehicles to get you out there in front of talent seekers. However, for all of us, no matter what business you're in, we're all looking for jobs if you think about it. You know, if you're a consultant, you're looking for your next client. If you're a recruiter, you're looking for your next, you know, client. So everybody is trying to grow their business. So by putting you out there, every single one of us has a unique DNA, and I don't mean the kind that runs through your veins. I'm talking about the totality of who you are, what your experience is, what your education is, what you've learned, and all of that makes you uniquely you. And I could, you know, bore you with stories of how people have come to me because of little things they've picked up in my online biography on LinkedIn that they connected with, those rapport building things. And it might be because of the school that I attended, it might be because of where I've lived in the past, the company that I worked for, a philosophy I had about something, you know, some of my special interests. You never know how people are going to connect with you, but it's my very strong personal philosophy that we still are human beings, even though we're using a virtual platform. We're still human beings sitting at our computers wanting to connect with another human being sitting at their computer. And if you can give people little clues that will engage them to say, hey, you know what, that's pretty cool that I know that about her. I think I'd like to talk to her because we have something in common. And that's, by the way, all subconscious. People don't even think about that consciously. But your biography on LinkedIn should be so strong and so complete that people know who you are before they ever go a step further. So what distinguishes you as a coach? What distinguishes you as a speaker, as a chiropractor, as an attorney? I mean, you know, the list is endless. As an author, and it goes beyond the what you do today, but everything that led up to that, that makes you that very special human being that you are now. And you're not going to see that anywhere on the web. You won't see a complete biography on a website, on a blog. You certainly won't see it on Facebook or Twitter. But LinkedIn provides you that platform where we can all check each other out, and that opens the door to meaningful conversation and ultimately to business.
You know, I had never thought of that before you made that point, Carol. That's so valid and so important. And also, there's a number of tools and add-on on LinkedIn that where you can actually add your work, and it's more than just a blog. You can actually have a body of work so people really get to know you well there.
Absolutely. And, of course, we could go on and on, but joining the right groups, hanging out with the right people, letting your voice be heard, becoming part of the conversation, that adds to just your biography. That makes you, again, real to people that they begin to get, again, to know you and like you and trust you. And so it's a very, very powerful platform.
It is, and you can even start a group. We have a group on LinkedIn that we use to basically determine what people want to hear in our magazines. And it was really powerful. You know, it became populated with a lot of really active, interesting people really quickly. So I think it's a great place, too, for those that want to start with a network and a following to try it there first. And if they really feel that they're ambitious and they want to go for that and maintain it, it's great and it's free.
And that supports that whole sense of community, of getting together with like-minded people in a safe place where you can have meaningful conversations. And just to sort of, you know, flip the other side of this coin, I would also say to people that if you have no presence on LinkedIn, or worse yet, a very skeleton profile with very weak information where you just basically threw up a photo, a name, your current job, and maybe where you went to school with no additional detail, you are telegraphing a very incomplete, non-contemporary image of yourself. And people will you might be the best consultant in the world, but if you don't take this platform seriously today, people will discount you and you won't even know it because they won't even reach out to you. They'll just go to the next person where they can really explore and learn more about, again, whatever your business is or whatever your craft is. And so that probably is a more important message. The people who are using it get what I'm saying. The people that aren't using it effectively are really missing the opportunity to connect with amazing people and new business opportunities and best practices partners and, you know, referral partners, all of those kinds of things. It's not always about direct business. Sometimes it's much, much bigger and broader than that.
Yeah, just no question. Really great point. Well, you know, you are so inspirational when it comes to everything and very passionate about your knowledge and your involvement with social media. What inspires you?
What inspires me? I think what inspires me is, and this is going to sound awful, I think at my age and at my level of experience, I have been so fortunate to be mentored over my career by amazing people who took an interest in me and helped me get where I am and learn from my mistakes and sort of dust myself off and move on and grow. And my inspiration comes today in being able to pay that forward and pay it back, I guess, or pay it forward to help other people. And my joy is in seeing the light bulbs go off. So whether I'm doing a leadership development program or I'm coaching somebody in a one-on-one coaching situation or I'm helping a business owner sort of see the forest for their trees in their own business or I'm conducting a boot camp on social media, it doesn't matter. My real inspiration comes in how I can touch somebody else to help them with their breakthroughs and just move to the next level. So it isn't about me. It's always about the people that I touch.
That's beautiful. And how do you inspire them, America's LinkedIn lady?
Well, I don't know that I set out to inspire people, but I pride myself on is I am a good listener and I have pretty good intuition. And by tuning into people and really hearing maybe not even the question that's being asked, but the question that's not being asked, and then encouraging people, not by always giving the answer, but encouraging them to dig deep to find the answer within themselves is really where the inspiration comes because I get a kick out of that. And more importantly, I know that self-discovery and that self-awareness is going to go a lot farther and stick with them a lot longer than if I just give them, you know, the spoon with the medicine in it already, you know, already dosed out. That's too easy. It's a lot more fun than that.
Ah, that's so beautiful. Carol, thank you so much for being with us today. This has just been such a wonderful time together, and I know everyone who will be hearing this will be, you know, just evolve so much further in their social media as a result of sharing your wisdom. can you share with us where people can find out more about you?
Absolutely. All you have to do, it's very easy, LinkedInLady.com is my website. And if you want to send me a direct email, it's very simple, Carol McManus, and that's CarolMcManus at LinkedInLady.com. And I would love to hear from you. Or I'm going to give them one other option. I have a radio show on 5 days a week on RockstarRadioNetwork.com. And they are welcome to listen in or call into the show with their questions. So lots of ways to find me.
Oh, fabulous. Well, thank you so much for your generosity, both of time and for making contact with you available so easily. I really appreciate it. I know our audience does too.
My pleasure, Vicki. It's been lots of fun.
Thank you so much.